All right. God is great.
Hallelujah. Amen.
God is good.
Hallelujah.
God is good. God is good. Okay, God is up in the center. You got God. He's got a left hand and a right hand.
Amen.
So this is his right hand. His, not yours. This is your left, but this is his right. So here, these are all the promises of God. You don't do a thing. And over here, these are all the commands that are on you. Behave yourself. So you get to choose which one you want. Do you like God telling you what you should do or what he's going to do? How many know God is a little smarter, better, stronger than y'all?
Amen.
And therefore, it's better if he keeps his word than if you keep yours.
Amen.
You're not reliable.
That is
your sand, he's rock. So I would go with the right hand on this one. And here's the deal, that God is up in heaven. So here's God sitting on his throne up in heaven. He's not down here on earth. And he then speaks words. And it either can be a promise or it can be a command. To Moses, he gave a command. To Jesus, he gave promises. So Jesus never gave commands. I know it says he did, but he didn't. When he gives a command, interestingly enough, remember he's commanding a new creation. So when you command a new creation, it's just simply an exhortation. Because that's your son. That's someone who already has the promise. The way you become a new creation is to believe a promise. So this is faith. And this one is works. So if you like to do works, behave yourself, have everybody like you because you're awesome and great and smart, and so on, that's good. You can handle that. If you're a loser, like me, I like it where God does everything and just blesses me. Go for it, God. Go, God. I love it. Just you know, wear yourself out. You know, it's like, okay. But you see, for God, it's easy because he just talks. He just says a word. Creates the universe.
Hallelujah.
You know, just says a word. Jim, I love you. Boom. Changes everything. Did you know that if you believed God, if you just believed his words, it would absolutely make you a new creation. You wouldn't even go through all the troubles and problems.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
Now, believing him, however, is not easy. As a matter of fact, it's impossible. Your flesh will not, never will, ever at any time believe God.
Right.
Did I make myself clear? Yeah. So a lot of Christians are trying to say, you know, well, I'm going to try to believe. You can't try to believe. You either believe or you don't. You hear it, and if you're a loser, if you're, you know you're a jerk and an idiot, you listen. If you're not, if you think you're awesome, you're not going to listen. You're going to rebel against it because you don't want to do those things either. So you don't want to have him help you out, because why do you want to be dependent on God? Like, he'll probably want me to do something. Say something. Be something. So, there's God. Simple. Now, Shema, S-H-E-M, Shem is name. But Shema, with an A on the end, S-H-E-M-A, is a word for hear. Listen. Attend to this. So here's God, and this is our problem today. It's our problem in the church. It's our problem in the world. It's a problem. The only problem. There isn't any other problem. As nobody wants to listen to God. I mean, they'll read his word, and they don't disagree with it. But doesn't mean they're going to do it. Because hear doesn't mean hear. You like the parent that says to the child, "Did you hear me?" What they mean is, and the little kid could say, "Yeah, you said, take the garbage out," whatever. But they didn't. It isn't that they didn't hear. It went in one ear and out the other. He means, did you hearken unto me? Did you pay attention to what I said? And so people do hear, but they don't care. They don't really attend to seriously. Well, and I used to be like that. I want to hear what God had to say. I didn't disagree with it, just not interesting to me. I wanted to do my own thing. got to hear an amen.
Amen.
Amen. So, when you do that, it's your own happiness at stake, not God. You know, he's not going to beat you. He's not going to get you. He just lets you be an idiot. How many have been an idiot?
Yeah.
Jacob. I knew. I looked right over right away. Wanted to see if you were an idiot or not. So an idiot means someone who just ignores and rebels against whatever God says, whatever your parent says, whatever authority says. Now, I'm an authority. What does that mean? That means the author, God, has told me to say stuff. What stuff? His stuff. So I can't tell you to behave yourself because that's not what he's saying. I don't believe God is saying behave yourself. I don't believe God has ever wanted anybody to behave. I don't believe God wants people to behave. And I know Raul doesn't, so thank God. I like a church full of people that misbehave. I want only sinners. And he only speaks this word over here, this promise, to people that are sinners and can't behave. He has no good news for the guy that says, I'll do it. Here am I, send me. That's in the Bible, but it's kind of like stupid. Because nobody's ever done it with all their heart and all their soul and all their strength and their neighbor as themselves and so on. So this word is the only one that fits real people, human beings. The other one is for people that lie. Not just to God, but to themselves. Like I can do that. I could do that. You're just crazy. You're crazy. That is insanity. That is the height of insanity, is to imagine you can behave yourself. And little bitty kids can do it. Mom, I was the only one that didn't yell today, and I got a star. I was better than all the other ones. And that little kid is, you know, motivated. And she'll try to get more stars every day and so on. And her parents will be really happy and so on. Well, that works when you're 3 and 2 and 7 and 12 and so on. But after that, I would say 12 is about the limit. After that, probably 10. Maybe even 7.
Yeah.
I mean, it's hard to keep those kids going like that. Pretty soon they're gonna start doing bad stuff. No. And when that happens, you got a rebel. You got a rebel on your hand. Now, everybody does it outwardly or inwardly. They might do it inwardly instead of outwardly. I can hardly wait till I get out of this house, that kind of thing. And when I get big, I'm going to... In my family, this is terrible. Sorry, Margaret. But in my family, I fooled the kids. I was a deceiver, deceptive. And I told them, the worst thing you can do is eat candy. Knowing they would eat candy. But still, I made it a real crime. Like your teeth will fall out or whatever. And so my kids were just happy when they finally grew up and could eat all the candy they wanted. It was great. Wear all the lipstick you want and everything else. So I made battles over stupid little things. And then I lost. And I let my kids beat me because I knew they would. I knew sooner or later they're going to rebel, and so on. And then they were so glad. And like Kara, the oldest one, don't tell her this, but she has 8 kids, and instead of following my example, which is you don't get any cookies and candies and so on, she just crams them in all of their mouths to keep them quiet and happy. And so they're all watching TV and munching on stuff, and they're happy. You know, it works out good when you got 8. But yeah, you know, the truth is that I raised her that you don't do this and you don't do that, and so I put a lot of laws on her so that she'd battle me over those laws. Most kids could hardly wait till they were 17 so they could sleep around, drink a lot, you know, just, you know, live it up. But my kids were just happy they could eat candy. So even though I lost, I won. Because I knew they'd rebel. Do you know that all children are rebels? And even if they do it inwardly and not outwardly, they're rebelling on the inside. Carl was one of those. She was always behaving on the outside, but, you know, doing secret things on the inside that I didn't know about. So you can't change human nature. You cannot change human nature. So all the programs for improving people's lives and so on is baloney. All you can get is hypocrisy. The best you're going to get out of people is hypocrisy. Because people are just nasty. Right? I know Willis and I are. That's just the way people are. Selfish. Arrogant. Fearful. Et cetera, et cetera. So people, you cannot get rid of anger and all that kind of stuff. You can get rid of the behavior. I agree to that. You can just force people to behave. But it's hard because there'll always be one kid, always be one who won't obey in any family. In ours, it was Margaret. But no, actually it wasn't. No, Margaret learned from the other three. Here's how you fake dad out. You know, you just say Jesus, and he's okay. Jesus told me I could wear lipstick or whatever the thing is. Please, Dad. You know, I love it. But anyway, so I'm not into changing people, but I am into giving them laws to find out that they couldn't do it. Okay, I'm going to say that again. I'm totally into God. The way God did it was whenever he would tell people to do something like, you know, don't eat of the tree, he knew they would. And I always knew my kids would disobey. So knowing that, you give the law real hard, make really harsh penalties for it. You know, the day you eat of it, you will die. I love that. But he knew they'd eat of it. And so, surprise, surprise, they ate of it, and then what did God do? Came into the garden, he said, Adam, what have you done? The woman you gave me. I love that. It's a little snot. I'd have just slapped him. You know, you don't blame me. That was a gift. I mean, I wouldn't have let him get away with it, because if you're God, you know what's right and wrong. And you knew what he did, and he didn't even need to come into the garden and say, where are you? He knew where they were. They were hiding behind the tree. It's like, he sees right around trees, on top of trees, under trees. You know, he can see everything and know everything. How many know God knows everything? He knows what you're thinking and feeling and everything. You don't even know what you're thinking and feeling. You know, you have to kind of learn. Well, I don't know why I thought that. You don't even know. But God knows everything. And so, and besides, he knows everything before it even starts. He knows the end from the beginning. He knows what you're going to do when you're 90, when you're born. I mean, he knows everything. So God gives laws that he never wanted anyone to keep. Did y'all hear me? So these Ten Commandments over here, this is Moses' seat over here. Moses is the lawgiver. God said the law, you got to do what he says or else. But God never wanted anyone to keep the law. Why? Why didn't God want anyone here to keep the law? Because none of you have. None of you have been happy all the time. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, it's heavy to rejoice. So is there anyone here rejoicing always? No, nobody. So every command he ever gave, nobody ever did. Love your neighbor as yourself. Nobody. Worship me with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength. Nobody. Nobody. I mean, so here's a God who's wasting his breath. He's wasting his words by saying, I want you to behave. I made this world so everyone would submit to me and obey. Love your neighbor as yourself. Nobody's ever done that. So why would God give a law that no one could keep? So Jesus could keep it. Jesus kept the law, and he did it voluntarily. He didn't even need to worry about it. He always did what was pleasing to the Father. It's like having an older brother or sister said, I always do what's pleasing to my father and my father. You know, and it's just like, phew. And so we don't like it when people show off, you know, do all the right things and we flunk or we get a C or something. We like to be the big shot. Right, Logan? We don't like it when our older sister beats us. Did you like that when she was always so awesome and, you know?
No, but then I got told to beat.
Yeah, that was the only thing that saved it right there. So we resent it that the world isn't fair. We resent it that other people sin and get away with it, and we wished we could too. But we know you're not supposed to. And if you do good, then you get a reward. How many have tried that out? You do good and actually everybody despises you. Nobody thinks it's great that you're wonderful and the teacher's pet and all that stuff. So Donald Trump's a perfect example. You know, the guy's ruthless as all get out. Everybody loves him now. You know? So when you have a lot of money, people just love you. That's all there's to it. They forgive all that. Hey, well, don't worry about that. He's got a lot of money, though. He made a lot of money. That's a god of this world, right?
Right.
And it's just like, you know, when you die, everybody says nice things about you, even though they hated you while you were living. That's just normal. So why did God do that? You know why he did that? To prove that you couldn't do it. And he wasted thousands of years just to prove that point. It's been 6,000 years already, and still people haven't got the point is that nobody can be good. Never. Not the way God says it, with all your heart and all your soul. You can't do the best you can, but he didn't say that. Remember that? The 10 suggestions? No, he didn't say that. These were commandments with bad things happening to you. Whatever. Like, you won't go to heaven. I'll keep you out. You're going to hell. You're going to burn forever. How many know that is not a motivation?
Right.
But some people still fall for it, especially little kids. They still fall for that. Right? They do. And it's fun. You're teaching fourth grade? Third. Good. I've been lying about that. But anyway, whatever. There's still a few third graders that are trying to please the teacher or please their parents or whatever because they're young and they haven't faced, you know, all the realities of life. But sooner or later, everybody rebels. Everybody is selfish. And they don't really care for this. I tell you, marriages are a great example of how 50% of the marriages don't work. Yeah, that's one out of two. So you got good chance. Don't get married, Jacob. Don't get married. I know you have a friend, you know, but just cut that off right there. Because you can never please a woman. I'll just tell you that right now. Raul, am I right?
Yeah.
I love it. Did you know that women are hard to please? I mean, if I take Peggy out one night, she's happy about that, but she wants to stretch it out for hours. And then she wants me to do it again the next week or something. It's like, God, I thought that would last 6 months. You know, if I buy her a plant or something, she doesn't want a plant. She wants something else. I bring home things that some lady at the store said, this is not, your wife will love this. I brought it home. I don't like that. So I just learned after a while, you know, you can't please them. They're not going to be pleased forever. And I ask her, Peg, what would make you happy for the rest of your life? You know, so I can get this thing over with and, you know, get on with my own life. Y'all see this? It's kind of funny. All right. So what I'm saying to you is real simple. God never expected anybody to behave. Never wanted anybody to behave. He has never, ever expected anyone to keep his law. Alex, that should be good news to you. Because you have not kept his law. You have screwed up royal. And because of that, God has another word over here, which is a promise. Whatever I told you to do, I will do it for you, then I'll do it in you, and then I'll do it through you. What do you think of that? That's cool, because for God, it's just a word. He just speaks a word, boom, it's done. He has cattle on 1,000 hills and so on. So he has no problems doing it. So let God keep his own law. It's his law. Keep it yourself. Keep it for me. Keep it in me. Keep it through me. That's fine. Just let me sleep. Let me just be me. I don't want to help. I don't want to do anything. How many know that there's a gift of laziness that you have? Everybody has. I mean, it's just something, you just wake up and realize, do I have to? Do I have to do it again? You know, because there's just kind of a laziness in all of us that thinks something like this. I think I should be waited on for the rest of my life. There's just something like that. It's just like, I don't know, I think I was born to be served rather than to serve. But you know, Jesus has this thing about I came to serve and not to be served. You know, it's like, how noble, you know. But it's like, okay, serve me. Go for it, Jesus. Amen? And I'm happy. I'm totally happy to make Jesus happy because he's happy when he serves. Whereas I'm happy when I'm being served. Does anybody else have a rotten, no good flesh like me? I do. I love doing nothing. I'm very gifted. I just love that. I love that when I have nothing to do. Anybody else like that? Mm-hmm. I mean, but we have to work 6 days a week or something, 5 days or something, to get some reward so you can feed the family and so on. Now, if God wants us to live 100% by promises that he actually will not only do it for you and forgive you for not doing it. That's the first thing he does, forgive you for not doing it. Second thing, he promises to change you from day to day. Those daily bless you. Daily. Every day. Every day. Blessing every day for you. But then actually to transform you so that you actually want to do the will of God freely. And then that you're actually able to do the will of God. The Holy Spirit, he is in you to will and to do. The Holy Spirit is in you to will and to do of his good pleasure. How many know that? That's neat. Let God do it though. Because you can't do that. You can't will and do his pleasure out of your own strength, out of your own nature, out of your own equipment, your reason, your will, your mind, your emotions, and so on. You can't do it. Nobody can do it. So if he would tell you not to rejoice when other people get it, you couldn't do it. When other people that are bad get it, I inside I'm so happy. I really am. I know what the scripture says, Jim. You're not supposed to be rejoicing over there. Yeah, so I do. When somebody is smart aleck and then they get it, I'm so delighted. Is anybody else like that? Because they're just obnoxious people that should get it. You know, what are they doing? Taking up space, breathing on this earth. Let them get it. Let them get what they deserve. When it comes to me, I've got a reason. We know that you always can justify anything that you've done. Even if it's wrong, you can justify it. Well, let me explain. Here's the deal. That's good. And so you have these groups where you talk it out. You know, people explain themselves. And as long as I can explain myself, I want others to get what they deserve, but I want mercy. I just want everyone to... If you really understood my story, could I tell my story? Because if you understood my story, you'd see why. I'm an Arab living in Israel, and I've got it so bad that I have to kill people to, you know, let the world know how bad it is. And so that's a game that's played by the media that, you know, paid for by someone else. And so the whole world is crazy these days. And it's going crazier and crazier. I love the world. I love just the way it is. I don't want anything to change. Leave it be just the way it is. Right? Because I have a God, and I'm connected to this God so much that I'm in him. And so I want to be right here.
Amen.
In God. Why? Because this is cool, where God does everything, and whatever he says, he does. Whatever he says, he does. So when I hear him, I don't hear him saying, Jim, shape up. I hear him saying, Jim, trust me. Did you hear what I just said? I don't hear him saying, obey me. I hear him saying, trust me. I'll take care of it. I like that kind of God. I like a God that wants to do everything and me do nothing. Apart from me, you can do nothing. So I'm in him. Right there. Now I can do all things. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I like that. Do y'all see that? So, I could break all the laws over here, And he only has one word to say to me. I love you. Yeah. So I break all the laws. I can do it deliberately or unconsciously or in my sleep or when I'm awake. It doesn't matter. God loves me for no reason at all. I don't deserve it. I didn't even ask for it. He just loves me. Unbelievable. Now, how many believe that God loved you into the kingdom? You didn't earn it. You never earned it. You didn't earn it by saying, you know, if you help me out this one time, I promise to be good from now on. Has anybody ever said that?
Yes.
And you know what? That is a lie. You just cannot sustain it. That's why marriages fall apart. Because people make these promises. I will be true to the end and so on and so forth. You can't. Within the first week, first day, first hour, you're going to mess up. Because you're a people. You're a person. Have you ever noticed that about people? They're unreliable. Has anybody discovered that? They're not reliable. Amen? Raul is a perfect example. Perfect example. Totally unreliable. And a bluff. Really a bluff. A fake. But, other than that, God bless you. Because he doesn't want you to be great. He wants to be great. Only God is good. Only God is great. Only God is smart. Only God is right. And so, let God do it all. God is so unemployed by us.
That's true.
He wants to work, and we're always doing things so he can't get a lick in edgewise. Let God do it. I mean, no, God could run the whole universe. All he has to do is breathe, speak. Now, the breath of God, the words of God, are always, always for me. He's never had one word against me. He hates my sin, that chair over there, but he loves me. Okay? He loves you. Did you know you were loved unconditionally by God? No conditions at all. No condition. You don't have to deserve it. You don't have to understand him. You don't have to do anything. Just do nothing. He just loves you because he created you.
Amen.
Just the fact that he created you, and he created you to be happy all the time. He did not create anyone to be miserable. Now, I'm going to ask a question. How many of you are radiantly happy all the time? It's good.
I'm going to go for about
80%. Okay. How many are 81%? So, God doesn't want you to work at this thing. You know why you're happy? Happy is the man that
trusts.
Not obeys. Trusts. Trust and obey. I know obedience can come, but it only comes if it's spontaneous. It only comes if, you know, you want to, hey, thank you for doing it. Now, you see, right there, that's a happy thing. Is he's forgiven all my sins. Thank you. He's got given me the Holy Spirit. Thank you. He wants to perfect me. Thank you. I could thank him if he was completely good. But I'm not so sure God is always as smart as I am. Has anybody thought that every once in a while? It's like, I don't know why he puts up with her. I'd get better. Has anybody ever thought that? Because I don't know why. God can't see. That person is no good. And I spot it right away. How many are smart at things that God is slow about? He's slow to anger, but he's also slow to pick on people that deserve to get it. Right? I mean, can you not think of some leaders that you have in the world today that should get it? If I had my way, I'd just take a machine gun and gun them down. I would. But fortunately, I'm not God, and I'm not in any power to do that. Because if it weren't for Jesus, that's what I would think of. I would think of that. How can I get rid of that mechanic that didn't really fix my car? I just want to go and kill him. There's a mafia in me that still believes that there. I've got that off my chest. And y'all have a little mafia in you? Yeah, everybody does. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. The reason he says that is because he knows you want it.
Right.
But I want to get even with that. And then add a little bit. All right. This good news is only good if you admit that on your own you cannot be good. Only God is good. No one else is good but God. That's it. So that should end everybody's effort to please people, to behave yourself, to look good. Don't even try. Now, I'm talking to young people. I'm not talking to you. Because I think you should behave. But I'm talking to older people who ought to know better. You know that you're not perfect. And you know that God wants you to love your neighbor as yourself, equally to yourself. You know that he wants you to rejoice always. You know that he wants you to do all kinds of things that you haven't done and can't do. He's never given one command that anyone can do. Not even one. So all of his words and ways are wasted on human beings. They're wasted on human beings. He'd do better with fish, with, you know, rats, snakes. At least they behave as he made them. They behave. But people can't do it. And so God wants to connect up with people, and he wants us to rest in him. He just wants us to relax and rest with him. Now, the message today is all about listening to God. Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Okay? So Lord is Jehovah, Yahweh, in Hebrew. And then God is Elohim, the Creator. So the Lord our God is Jehovah Elohim, is one Lord. Okay? So that means Jehovah is God, Jehovah. Jehovah Elohim is Jehovah. He's our Lord. He's our master. We owe our allegiance to him. Why? Not as an obedient son, but as one who agrees, I should obey, but I never have. Therefore, I'm going to live by his promises. Standing on the promises, da-da. If I was a Baptist, I'd know all the words, but I know it's about promises. Amen? Is there any Baptists here? I know that song. I like that song. It's very good. I like promises better than commands. I'm much better at having someone else do what they say they're going to do than me doing it. Because I know that if God makes a promise to me, he'll keep it. One thing about God, you can't catch him in a lie. Never lied. If he says he loves you, he can't change his mind the next day. Because he knows the end from the beginning. I mean, he doesn't have time and space upstairs. There's no time and space up down here, there is. And if I promise to do something, I might not keep that promise. But if God promises, it's done. The minute he says it, it's over. On earth, it doth not yet appear. But in heaven, it appears immediately. As soon as he says, let there be, boom, it's right there. So that's how God created the world in 7 days. It took him 7 days to do it. But the truth is, he could do it all in 1 second. But he did that to divide up the world to show how long this world's going to last. And did you know that we're already in the last day? I don't care about scholarship and whatnot. I'm just telling you, the way the Bible teaches it, there's only 7,000 years. We've already finished 6. So we're past, we're already into the 7,000th, and that is a day of rest. The 7,000th day is when we rule and reign. Okay? Unfortunately, you don't know where you're going to be when you rule and reign. I suppose most of you think you're going to be on the earth in Jerusalem. Why would you be in Jerusalem? Why not Dallas?
Right.
I mean, think about it.
Yeah.
Of course, you can fly because everyone will be able to just, you know, like that. But the truth is that you're not going to be there. You're going to be in heaven for 1,000 years with God. But there aren't any years up there. You're just waiting for the others to catch up. Y'all understand what I just said? King David
who prayed this prayer. Create in me a clean heart, O God. Renew a right spirit within me, verse 10, Psalm 51. He will actually be back again sitting on the throne. And he'll be in Jerusalem. That's his city. And so David will actually get that prayer answered. Create in me a clean heart, O God. He didn't have one. He had, remember all the mistakes he made. David was just human. And he had sin. And when we come back again, it won't be heaven. It won't be heaven. It'll just be 1,000 years on the earth to judge the other 6,000 years to show that man, just regular people, could actually behave themselves, even though they're wicked. They could be made to be hypocrites and just do it wickedly. But they'll be under Jesus and his bride, which is you and me. So we'll be sitting on the throne in heaven. And we won't be down here. And then later we'll all be reunited for those that actually decide to do what we did and be ready when he comes back. So I'm ready right now. Are you ready when he comes back? Are you pure and spotless? By faith?
What else is there?
So you see, faith works this way. That's faith. To be sitting there when you know you're not sitting there. He just said you are. You're not in God, in Christ, and so on, except he said you are, and you believe it. You listened, you attended to his word, because you knew you couldn't do that. You're not able to do that, but what you could do is, because it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is, and they who thus hope in him purify themselves as he is pure.
Amen.
So whatever you're looking at, that's what you're becoming. So here we are looking at Jesus here. We're looking at Jesus and we're becoming just like him. Why? Because we have our allegiance not to ourselves anymore. We're done with that. How many know that did not work? So until you're done with this world, you can't start living today. But as soon as you're done with this world, you can start living. So you're the block. You're the block. You're the one blocking it because you still think you could do or should do or ought to do. No. Can't. Now he can do it. You can't. He's the only one. He created your heart. He can give you a new heart. How many know if you're a Christian? How many are Christians?
Just by your name.
Okay. Now, if you're a Christian, you're already a new creation. So when this old creation, which you can read about in the book of Revelation, when the old creation gets it, you won't be here. You're not going to be here. You're going to be up. So when he comes back, he's going to snatch you away. He's not going to let you live in Jerusalem. He'll do that later. But right now, he'll let the Jews come back and run their city and run the government. But they'll be under Jesus and us. We'll actually be judging the 12 tribes of Israel. In other words, we'll be up on the throne, and it's real easy to rule when you don't do anything. You just look at Jesus, he just looks at the Father. The Father says, and then Jesus goes like that, and you go like that. You know, and there it is. I mean, that didn't take a lot of brains. That was rather easy. And so it's cool up there. I don't know if they have color TV or what they have, but it's going to be neat. Because there's nothing, there's no weight on you to do anything. Only God is the only actor in the universe. You can't show me any scriptures where you do anything. You don't do anything. He does everything. You just enjoy, celebrate, thank, praise, adore. I thank him because he's done everything. So therefore, thanking him is not something. I'm just thanking him because there's nothing more to be done than what he's done. I'm praising him for who he is. He's faithful and true and just and right and merciful and good and so on and so forth. And then I just love him because he wants to marry me. And I'm into that. How many know the wife should get all the blessing and the husband should get all the burden?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Yes.
The wife should get all the blessing and the husband carry all the burdens. Amen? That's pretty hard to find on this earth. A man that wants to do that. He'd have to be dead.
Amen.
And Peggy is a killer. I'm just telling you, she's a killer. She's a killer. She always wants her way. She doesn't want to be my satellite anymore. I always thought when I got married that the husband was the head and the wife was your little satellite. That's what you say. Always says yes, sir, and here's your slipper, and stuff like that. Well, I was disabused of that right off the bat. Within an hour or so of being married, I realized I'm not going to do what I say at all. It's going to be just like the last 5 years when we were going together. She never did come on time or anything. Hey, what are you doing? When I come, it's, you know, you be ready. You get up early. I mean, get ready to this day, including this morning. She's eating her breakfast in the car. Hey, you're not bringing that. No, but no. Just don't eat breakfast. Get up earlier, and so I did. She never obeys me.
It's my car, so I
can't. I know. There you go. She just has it made because I have to love her unconditionally, and she all just gets to enjoy it. Y'all see that?
Yeah.
She can say anything she wants. She doesn't have to say it right. She doesn't have to keep any laws. I don't have any laws. I don't have any rules for her. And I don't have any rules for you. I don't have any rules or laws. My only job is to tell you this is the true God. The true and living God is one that loves you. You live by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. Why? Because all of them, none of them are laws. The law, that chair, that was for Jesus. Jesus did it easily. He said, I always do what's pleasing to the Father. I never do my own thing. Jesus loves keeping the law for me. He didn't want me to do anything. He's my older brother. Hello? He's awesome. Now he's going to be my husband, bridegroom. I'm his bride. I'm part of the bride. This is cool. And so I get all the blessing and he takes all the burdens. I like it. I sin and he dies. I love that. I do wrong and he gets a spanking. I love that. Jim, did you do wrong again? I'll have to beat Jesus. Okay, sorry, Jesus. I appreciate it. Deeply. I'm going to go play toys right now. And so I like being blessed all the time. I like it. And God loves it because he's a blesser and I'm the blessee. I mean, I just take it and enjoy it. Amen. Are you all having fun down here?
Yeah.
Amen.
It doesn't bother me, Al-Qaeda and, you know, all the homosexual stuff and whatever. Do it. Go for it. You know, do whatever you're going to do. Doesn't bother me at all. I'm not the boss. I'm not the guy that, you know, does this or does that. I love you. I hate what you're doing because it's stupid, it stinks, and you're not happy and you're miserable. Too bad for you. That was your own choice. When Peggy stands up, that means shut up. That's what that means. That's a little trick she has. So he usually sits in the back so you don't see it, but now she's in the front, so you can all see our trick right there. It means I've said enough. All right. Shema Yisrael. Hear, O Israel. The problem today in the world, we're not hearing God. The reason you're not hearing God is because you think he's talking over here when he's really talking to you. And now he wants you to sit on his lap so that you can be loved by the Father in this world, wicked, nasty. Leave it. Don't fix it. Don't grab the box and try to help it from falling on the ground. Let it go. How many know that God can take care of all the problems? God is not like, you know, his right hand is short. You know, he's got a strong right arm. And whatever he wants to do, he just does it. Nobody has ever stopped God from doing everything he wants to do. Now let's just take this for an example. Look, if God loves you, you can't make him not love you. You can't say, hold off there, God. I don't want you to love me. You can't make him stop. When he loves you, I don't care how wicked you are. I don't care how forgetful you are. He still just loves you. He can't not love you. He can't put you under this burden. Put Jesus under the burden for me, but he can't put you there. Jesus has to die for us, right? That shows how much he loves us, that even while we were yet sinners, he died for us.
so that I never get the punishment. I never got the punishment I deserved. He doesn't want you to. It was hard for me to spank my kids. I didn't want to do it. And yet if you don't do it, it's not going to work, because they need that discipline and so on and so forth. So when they're little, you do it. But I never wanted to do it. And so I taught them as they, you know, got older and older, is if you don't want the spanking, here's what you do. You go, "Dad, don't forget you love me. You could show me mercy." And then we would discuss that, and I had the choice to do it. And so it worked. All the kids were happier. They didn't get a spanking for what they hadn't done or had done. But I didn't want to tell them that early on. I wanted them to get used to, you know, getting spanking when you did wrong. But after a while, I let them in on the secret. Here's the secret. Don't do it with mom. You're not going to do it. When you do wrong, you've got to be out of your case. It's going to be right there. Because mom is going to fulfill any word that I gave. But just between you and me, whatever I said, I can break it. I can show mercy anytime I want to. You know, that's what we got here. Anytime I want to, I can decide, give you mercy. And so David was the best in the family. I mean, he was the best. Because David, while we were walking down the hall, we had a stick that said wisdom and love and so on. We had this stick that he got always spanked with. And it was in a drawer. They knew right where it was. And on the way down the hallway to the bedroom, because I always did it in the same place, so on. David would go like this, Dad, I got it. What I did was wrong. I've learned my lesson. You don't even need to spank me. And I thought that was a very good argument right there. David already had it. There's no point to waste the stick thing on him, and so on and so forth. So I go, are you sure? Dad, I will never do that again. And of course, he's totally lying. But I thought the acting was so good that I always beat the bed. You know, and David was happy about that. And so he was good. He did sin more than the girls. He did. Girls sin less. Did you know that? Girls sin less. I don't know why there's that illusion that boys sin more. But David actually did. He would, you know, rake leaves or something. Get so much money for it. He'd do one bag. Maybe there were 30 bags to do or something. He'd do one bag and then he'd be gone. And you'd go out the back door. And I told him explicitly, you know, this is what you're going to get paid if you do every bag. Okay, Dad. And he would always agree. And then he'd be off at his friend's house down the street. Yeah.
I always called him Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer.
Because he did a friend before.
Yeah, yeah. He was good. He was clever.
Just so
then, you know, you come back and discipline him, but really, what's clever? So, how many know God loves you?
Amen.
I don't care what you do. You're God's son. He's wanted everybody to be blessed. He's not a respecter of person. He doesn't just want nice people to be blessed. He wants nice people to go to hell and bad people to be blessed. Do you know why? Because he doesn't want you to lie and say you're a nice person and you're just behaving. He wanted it with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, so that they would have to also come in the same way that the bad guy got in, is to say, "God, have mercy on me." So I taught my kids how to say mercy, so that, you know, we didn't need to have the law thing. And that would go until they were mature. Now, Margaret was the only one, tell her that you're here. But she was the only one that didn't get a bad car. Because I gave all the other kids bad cars because I knew they'd bang them up. And so they had big, these are the old Buicks and the old Oldsmobiles. They were like tanks. And they were ugly. I mean, they were ugly. And Carl was, she was horrified when she saw hers. She was, "I don't want that. I mean, I want a car. That one." Cara, this is a good thing. If somebody runs into you, you run into somebody,
They will be damaged, but you will not. Your life will be spared. Dad, I hate that car. I was not even going to drive it. Okay, fine. No car at all, man. Okay, I'll drive it, but I hate it. And so they all got those hand-me-down cars when we were done with them, and they could be banged up. So. But Margaret said, having watched her older brother and sister have 2 and 3 accidents apiece, she said, Dad, let me just say something to you. I have watched the other children. I am not going to have an accident. And so we made an agreement, and she wrote it down, signed her name to it, that if that's not true, then a certain consequence will happen. And so we had an agreement. I put it in the drawer. And so I remember then the first one. Can I tell this story? Kind of fun. I remember the first accident she had. Dad, it wasn't my fault. It wasn't my fault. It was raining. The tires were slick. I forget what her reasons were, but she had reasons why you should have put new tires on there or brakes should have been better, whatever. And so it's not my fault. And so I said to her, Margaret, look, we have an agreement that you weren't going to have an accident. I know, but it wasn't my fault. I know, but that doesn't make any difference. Then you still have to have somebody else drive you somewhere. Mommy have to do it, or I'm going to have to do it, and so on and so forth. So I just want you to know that I'm not buying that. And the next time that you have an accident, I'm not going to have another one. I know. But let's make another paper and say, this will be the consequence of it, because in case you do, that'll be the last one. We're not going to get any more. You just drive the bang up car. And so this is building character. Y'all can see this. It builds character. Instead of having a BMW or some kind of Mercedes-Benz or something like that, like the other kids had, TCU or wherever it was, you're going to drive a banged up car. And Kirsten was really ticked at because she had to drive, I think, a Chevy. And that was an old Chevy we were done with, and so on and so forth. So. And then something happened, and she ran out of gas or something right next to the school she was going to go to. Oh, yeah.
And
then
she did that.
Yeah, just, wow. And it was a freezing day, I remember this.
And so she was there.
Yeah.
And she just left the car. And then somebody came and whammed her.
Right, yeah.
So, oh, my
God. She's just been praising the Lord and thanking
me. Right. And so we made her go to TCU next to all the Mercedes. And her friends all said to her, my dad will buy you a car. Do not drive that car here. And she was so ashamed. But it was building character in her. But she was so ashamed. Anyway, all I'm trying to point out is God is a good God. God is a good God. And Margaret drove the best cars. I mean, that was just awesome.
Compared to theirs.
Compared to theirs. Exactly. Exactly. I love it. You see, God is raising all of us as his children. What kind of a father is he? The best. Why? What does he want you to do? Nothing. You're royal. You're royal. He wants you to be a daughter of the king. He wants you to be a king's daughter. You up for that? King's son. You're a prince. He wants you to be a royal priesthood. Now, since that's the case, let him bless you. Listen to what he's saying. He is not saying, obey. He is saying, trust. Did you see that?
Praise God.
Shema Yisrael. Yisrael says this. Yeh in Hebrew is future. So, Yisra, the Ra is part of Rosh, which means ruler or judge or prince or king. And then El is God. So, Yisrael. Okay, what it means is, you shall rule with God or under God. Today, our rulers are not ruling under God. You know why? Because we're not. We're the reason. You have bad rulers because you're not doing it either. You're not doing what God said. So he's not judging us by saying, I'll get the bad rulers out of here and give you better ones. No, he's not going to do that. He's saying, when you do what I say, I'll put them down. judgment begins in the household of God. So that's all he's saying. We have the rulers we have now because we haven't behaved. In the church. The church is the one that's at fault. The church is completely at fault because we have this good news and we're still living as though it was bad news, and we don't worship him with all our heart and all our soul and all our strength and our neighbor as ourselves, and we're not listening to him every minute of every second of every day, and we're not sitting in his lap and rejoicing and happy all the time. So that's what God wants. So who's ready? Who's going to behave from now on? Nobody. Good. Don't behave. Thank you. God bless you. Don't you dare behave. Don't you dare shape up. Let God bless you. Let God do it. How many know he won't come through? Well, that's what people think. They think if I trust God, he won't come through. But I'll tell you what. You don't just wait for him to come through. You actually have to do everything you can do to find out it doesn't work. And then he comes through. I don't know if you've ever noticed that or not. How he does it that way. Let him just fumble around and, you know, try to make it happen. And then when you realize it doesn't, when you're desperate, you call on God. God, okay. All right, help me out this time. I promise I'll be good from now on. He loves that. He loves that. But he just blesses you then when you I don't even like you anymore. You don't ever come through for me. You are no good. And that's when he comes through, right then.
That's right.
He does that. He loves it when you're mad and angry and nasty and so on. Goes, yeah, I love that. I love you when you're a sinful, wicked person. God is good.
Amen.
I want you to know we're the only ones that have that kind of God. Everybody else has a God that wants you to behave. We have a God that when you misbehave, he loves you. That's when he loves you. This world is falling apart. Don't fix it. God himself will come. Guaranteed. He will come back. Just at the moment, at the height of the enemy's deal. And it looks like Al-Qaeda and these guys are going to be part of that deal. But at the height of that, when everything looks grim for Israel, and she's on her last legs, that's when God will come back and say, oh, you know, how you guys doing? Thanks to you, not so good. And that's when he's going to come back and say, no. Remember Jesus who you killed? Yeah. Well, I just want you to know he's the one I'm sending. He'll get you out of it. No, we don't want him. We'll kill him again. No, you won't. Double jeopardy. No, sorry. So, you see, God has a sense of humor. How many know God has a sense of humor? How many know God's not nervous? He's not nervous about Al-Qaeda. He could just breathe on someone and they're gone. He can change the world in an instant. All he's waiting for you to do is rejoice. Sit in his lap. Naham in Hebrew means repent. It doesn't mean repent. It means repent. Change your mind. God is good. He's not evil. He doesn't have a law. He has a gospel. He's only good. He's always been good. So your repentance is change your mind about that because you're wrong. God is only good. Worship him now. Thank him now. What for? Not as a work. Not as a way to get into heaven. You're already going. You're going because he loves you. That's why you're going.
Amen.
Just thank him. Praise him. Amen. Adore him. You know why? Because then things begin to happen. That's heaven on earth.
That's right.
Heaven on earth is when you get a hold of that and know who God is. Not at all what you think. I don't care how he appears to you. That's the way he is. You can't even imagine the good things he wants to do for you every day. But he's waiting for you to praise him first because you trust him. Not to get into heaven, but to get heaven into you so that other people can also get in. God is good.
Amen.
It's a blessing. Hope you're blessed today.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Yahoo!
Hallelujah.
Did you get something out of that, Jacob? Yeah. It's good. It's powerful. Who wants to testify? Who wants to testify? Pastor. I understood it. I understood it, Pastor.
I understood it.
Amen.
God is
good.
It's good.
You need it. You need to know how good God is. Listen to his voice. He's always for you. If God be for you, who can be against you?
No. Amen.